Amen. Thank you, Barry and Sarah. Good song. What a blessing. Amen. All the miracles. That's why the devil doesn't want you to believe in miracles. He doesn't want you to think that God can do it, and then you get discouraged, and you know what? God can do it. God can do anything. And your problem is not too big for Him. Your situation is not too tough for Him. He'll take care of it. He has everything under control. And praise the Lord for that. We've had a great week. It's been an exciting week, really. A lot of things have gone on this week. We started last Sunday reading in Genesis 1, right here in the auditorium, right after the morning service. And the goal was to read all the way through the Bible and have different people come in. We had a brand new super giant print Bible so we all could see the words. And we started out with Genesis 1. And read and read and read and read. People came in at all hours of the day and all hours of the night and read passages and just kept reading and kept reading and kept reading. And by Wednesday evening, we got to the end of the Bible. And we all read it together at about 8 o'clock Wednesday evening and finished together. Brother Varnum was reading, and he led us in the last chapter. And we finished after 80 hours. We read all the way through the Bible. And that was a blessing. That was all in celebration of the King James Bible being 400 years old. And so that was such a blessing. I heard so many good testimonies about that. And that was so good. Then Wednesday evening, our church service, before we read and finished all that, I was talking about the Bible and how, you know, a lot of people say, I just can't understand the King James Bible. So I took us to the Ten Commandments here in Exodus chapter 20. And it's amazing how many people say, well, you know, I keep all the Ten Commandments. And the truth of the matter is, you probably struggle with every one of them, to be honest with you. But I just took our first graders. I asked first graders if they could understand some of these verses, and I asked them if they can understand verse 13. And so I read it to them, thou shalt not kill. You know, you'd be amazed how many first graders' hands went up. I said, so you know what that means? And a couple of our first graders, you know, they were just so anxious. Ooh, 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 ooh. They knew what it meant. And I said, so I called on one of the first graders, and I said, what does it mean, thou shalt not kill? They said this. And you're going to be amazed what they said. They said, we're not supposed to kill. Wow. First graders understood. It's amazing how many people that study the Bible over and over and over and over and over again, and they say, we just can't understand it. That's pretty obvious. And then I went to verse 15, and I had a couple of first and second graders. They raised their hand and said, what does it mean when the Bible says, thou shalt not steal? And you'd be amazed. I had many hands go up, but I could only call on one. And the young person looked at me and said, you're not supposed to steal. Isn't that good? You know, you can understand what you need to understand in the Bible. And praise the Lord for that. And it's interesting, right after that Wednesday night service then, we all left here. And that night, somebody broke one of the windows in our fellowship hall, came through, and stole a bunch of items out of our church. And we were broken into Wednesday night, probably sometime after midnight. We do have evidence that it was around that time. And some things were stolen, some money was stolen. And so Thursday morning I came in, and glass was all over the floors and different things. And just quite a shock. And then, of course, we called the police, and all that got dealt with on Thursday. And so we left Thursday night, and came back in Friday morning, and more glass and more thing we got broke into again on Thursday night. And, you know, isn't it amazing how often the Ten Commandments are broken?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it amazing? Now, we don't have any idea who this was. If it was the same person both nights, we assume it was. But isn't it amazing how often the Ten Commandments are broken? And, you know, that second time they got into the office area, the back office area where my office is, and you look around, you try to figure out what they took, and it is interesting some of the things that were taken. And, but it's amazing how often those Ten Commandments are broken. But right in the middle is a commandment I think that we maybe struggle with sometimes. Verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Here's a commandment that has a promise with it. It says, if you'll do this, your days will be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them. Now, that means to bring honor to them. That means whatever way you can, bring them honor. Show them honor. Somehow, do something and live a life and be the kind of person that will bring honor. I thought about the folks that broke into our church, which is amazing, although in our day there is certainly not the respect there used to be for the church and for the man of God and all those things, all that goes with that. But I thought about those thieves, and I thought how they're bringing shame to their mother and to their father. See, God says, honor thy father and thy mother. We're to bring honor, and God commands us to bring honor to our parents. And sad to say, those that broke in to our church, and any thief for that matter, they more than likely they're going to end up in jail. And I'll be honest with you, there's no honor in that for a mom and dad. There's no honor in sitting in a courthouse or a courtroom and watching your child be taken off to jail. There's no honor in sitting in a jail and whether it's through the window or whether it's face to face, but having to talk to a child that is wearing the jail clothing or the prison garb and having to talk to them while they sit in jail because of something they did that brought shame rather than honor to a mom or a dad. You see, the whole idea God commands us to honor our mother, honor our father is, hey, let's make them proud. As I think about honoring a mother today, I think about saying, you know, Mom, I want my life to be able to say to you, and I want you to be able to say it was worth going through the jaws of death to bring you into this world. I wish every mom could say that about her child. It was worth it. It was worth the pain. It was worth the suffering. It was worth it. It was worth the thousands of dollars that were spent on you by the time you were 18 years old. It was worth it because you brought honor to me. Thursday morning, I thought about the thieves. Thought about all that they took. I thought about their lives. Could have been drug related. Could have, who knows? It's just so hard to say. And I thought about them, and I got especially after the second time, you know, I got just a little bit discouraged, just thinking, you know, why didn't we reach them with the gospel? Why weren't we able to keep them from this kind of a life or whatever it was? I started to develop kind of a bad attitude, but I finally looked over at my mom's picture. And my mom, of course, has been in heaven for many years now. And I looked up to heaven and I said, Mom, there is one thing I can be thankful for today. I'm thankful that I wasn't the one breaking into the church. And Mom, I want you to be proud of me. I want you to be proud of me. Can you say that today? Amen. Can you say that, you know, I'm living a life my mom is proud of me. Your mom may be in heaven today like my mom. Your mom may be in another state and you're going to call her later on today. Your mom may be sitting right here in the services with us. Can you say today, Mom, I just want you to be proud of me. I want to bring honor to you. I want you to say it was worth everything I went through for my child to be brought into this world. I want to bring honor to my mom. I want to talk to you today about the best Mother's Day gift. Father, bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The best Mother's Day gift. You know, this morning, maybe, how many of you got breakfast in bed? Did anybody breakfast in bed? All right, several did. All right. How many of you, your children wanted to make breakfast, but you realized it'd be more of a mess than, anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right? And Yeah, that's, you know, you've heard I love you, you got the kisses, you know, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Boy, they're all excited and everything, and I can almost guarantee you're going to get some unique gift from their Sunday school class. I mean, there's all kinds of unique ideas. It's amazing to me, some of the different cards that we received when our children were little, and the glue, you know, that hasn't gotten hard yet, and you touch the card and it's all over your hands. You know what I'm talking about? And you know, and all the different things and different ideas, and I mean, you'll get something. I can just about guarantee that says Happy Mother's Day or whatever it says on it, if you can even tell what actually it says. And nowadays, glitter, you know, glitter is the big thing. And these cards, the glitter never stays on the card, never. And pretty much you'll have glitter all over you. You know, moms will come tonight to church and you'll see little glitter things all over them, and you'll know that it was probably Sunday school or junior church, and their child, oh, I want to make one for my mom, and it's got to have lots and lots of glitter all over it, and you'll have it all over you. And there will be all kinds of artwork that you'll see. I mean, some of you will get, you'll get stick people. You know what I'm talking about? Stick people. And it'll be your family, and their hands are round with little stick things coming out of them. You know, and sometimes they have six, sometimes seven, sometimes actually five. One's five, one's four, and you know, representing the fingers. And you'll have unique artwork on these little cards. And you'll have, I get stuff from the children. They'll draw me pictures, and many times they draw me. And I'm always impressed when they draw me with hair. I mean, it is an amazing thing. Somebody actually drew, one child drew me a picture the other day of me, and it actually was very, very accurate, and except that it had black hair on the sides. And it hadn't been black in a long, long time. But you know, you'll have all those kinds of things, and you'll have pictures you don't know really what it is. But the amazing thing is you don't even know what it says, but you'll keep that thing for years and years. You know why? Because that child is trying to honor you today. And you know that. And that child is trying to say, I love you, Mom. That child is trying to say, I love you, and I care about you. And I made this special little gift just for you. For some, you'll get flowers today. For some, you'll get a phone call that, you know, a child you haven't heard from in a while. And you'll be so excited. You'll get all kinds of unique gifts. You know, I'm talking about gifts that moms can't live without. If you've read the advertising all during the last couple weeks, you know, mom has to have this thing. And you will get that thing, and you'll put it in the cabinet, and it will sit there for years until you finally sell it at a garage sale. But anyway, you'll have, you know, and it'll be that perfect card, which, by the way, nowadays costs about $5. But all of that is an effort to say, Mom, I love you. And it's an effort to honor moms on Mother's Day. You know, Jesus is a perfect example of paying attention to his mother and wanting to honor his mother as Jesus hung on the cross. We just celebrated Easter and spent some time talking about Jesus' death on the cross, and he's hanging on the cross. He's been beaten 39 times with a cat of nine tails. Literally, his flesh is hanging in ribbons from his body. And the blood is everywhere. It is a very gruesome, gruesome scene. But again, Jesus bloody and beaten and in anguish and in pain and all that is going on the cross. What would he say? And as he hangs on the cross, he says, at one point, he says, Mom, John will take care of you. John, take care of my mom. What's he doing? He's wanting to honor his mother as he hangs on the cross, as he literally pays the price for our sins. Honor. Honor. You know, to bring honor to make my mom proud. Before my mom died, she said, Son, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. My dad said, I'll never forget this. Dad with his buddies, and my dad had gotten saved in his later years of his life, but he never really got involved in church, and he had some pretty rough buddies. But I remember when he told his buddies, he said, this is my son, he's my pastor. And he was so proud. And honoring your parents is to make them proud. Honoring your parents is to make them glad. Make your mom glad that she went through all she went through to bring you into this world. Making your father proud and glad that he, you know, though it cost a lot of money, by the time you're 18. Costs a lot of money by the time you're 12. Costs a lot more between 12 and 18. But you know what? It's to say, you know what? I'm glad. It was worth it. It was worth the late nights. It was worth the overtime. It was worth everything that we put into it. It was worth the trials. It was worth the problems. It was worth the pain. It was worth the anguish. It was worth it all. That's what we want to hear him say. So many mothers today, their hearts are broken because they have a child that's wayward. So many mothers, probably sitting right here, there's many mothers. You have a child that's, their life is a mess right now. Some of them, that wayward child will give them a little gift. Maybe they'll give them a card, send them a flower or something like that. Understand, maybe you're that child. Understand, more than that card, more than that gift, more than that flower, your child or your parent, your mother, she'd love to see you turn out right. More than anything we could buy them, all these gifts that there are out there, and Kohl's had sales, and Penny's had sales, Walmart had sales, all of them had sales, and boy, this is the greatest gift. But understand, the best thing you could give your mother today is, you know what, I'm living the kind of life that I'm supposed to live. I'm doing what God wants me to do. That is the way that you honor your mom. That is, there is no better way than just to turn out right. That's what a mom, you know, she goes through, literally goes through the jaws of death to bring us into this world. And it just seems ridiculous that we would take that life that was given to us and we'd waste it. It seems so unfair that we would take that life that our parents have given us and we would waste it on foolishness. Three gifts to give honor to your mom this Mother's Day. Just three things, three gifts. And they're very, very simple. Number one is to do the will of God. What a great gift that is for a mother. To do the will of God. My Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. It is God's will that every person be saved. It is God. God is not willing that anyone would die and go to a place called hell. God did not make hell for people. God made hell for demons and the devil. God is not willing that any should perish. That's why God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins. We talked about it just a little while ago. That's why Jesus died for us, so we could be saved. Do you understand? No one has to go to hell. Not one person. You say, you don't understand. I've done some bad things. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus died on the cross for you. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's me. And that's you. That's all of us. We've all sinned. There's not a perfect person in this room. There's not a person in this room that can say, you know what, I've never done anything wrong. We all have. Every one of us. And because of our sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We deserve death in a place called hell. Death means separation, separation from God in a place called hell. It's amazing how lightly the world throws that word around, telling people to go there when they have absolutely no power to send anyone there except themselves. It's amazing how flippant people are with that word hell, when hell is the most terrible place. I cannot imagine a place worse than a place of fire and brimstone and continual wailing and weeping, the Bible says, and gnashing teeth, and a place of terrible pain. But nobody has to go there. You say, well, you just said we've all sinned. You just said that because of our sin we deserve to go to hell. Oh yeah, but the second part of that verse is, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And literally, Jesus took our hell for us, and it is the will of God that we all be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not Baptist, that's Bible. You know, we're not trying to make you into Baptists. We're just telling you what God said in His Word. He said, you know what? You can be saved today. You don't have to go to hell. And it is the will of God that everyone be saved. Everybody. You know, each person in this room, it is God's will that you be saved. It is God's will that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is no question about that. That is clear in Scripture. God sent His Son to die for you. And if you were the only person on this earth, He would have done that for you. He loves you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's God's will. Now, you need to do the will of God. That'll bring honor to your mom. To be saved, that brings honor to your mom. Over 53 years ago, my mom, several months into her pregnancy, she started having problems physically, and literally the water broke just several months into the pregnancy. She was confined to bed for quite a few months. She was in pain. She was sick. She suffered a lot. And when I was born, she didn't get to hold her little baby in her arms. Instead, they rushed me to an incubator, and she was told that I probably was going to die because I had Hyaline's membrane. They said, we'll put him in an incubator for 72 hours, but more than likely he will die, because back in those days, most babies did. I think about, and many times I think of the tears that she shed. I think about the sorrow, the pain, the waiting for those 72 hours for her little baby, whether he would live or he would die. You know, later after Mom got saved, and, you know, she many, many times told me, because she ended up coming to our church and I became her pastor, and many times she told me she knew why I lived when so many babies didn't live back then. It was so that I could be a preacher and preach the Word of God. It was God's will. Now, what if I never would have got saved? What if I would have just gone ahead and done my own thing, and like so many have made up their mind to do, hey, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't care about that kind of stuff. Listen to me. What if you don't get saved? What a shame it is that against the will of God, you will put your mother through literally the jaws of death to bring you into this world so you can live your life and then die and go to hell for eternity. How sad that is to think about. How sad that God has a plan for your life. He sent His Son to die for you, and you just say, God, I don't want that. I don't care about that. Because you do realize you're a sinner. And you do realize, we all know deep down there is punishment for sin. We know that. We know that. And Jesus took the punishment for you. You say, yeah, it sounds too easy. Then do it. In just a few minutes, we'll have the invitation. You'll have an opportunity to come. And somebody will take a Bible. They'll show you those verses that I just quoted. And you can pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, like I did at the age of 17. By the way, I got saved before my mom ever got saved. Yeah, but I got news for you. Many, many times I thought, you know, I nearly died as a little baby. God had a plan for my life. Listen to me. He has a plan for your life too. He has a will for you, and it starts off with you getting saved. Oh, listen to me, friend. Please, whatever you do, do not leave here until you make that decision. Because again, you can give your mom a card. You can give her flowers. You can call her on the phone. Those are all nice things. And they're not, I'm not saying they're bad things, but the very best thing you could do is do the will of God. Why am I here? Why did I why was I born in the first place? It wasn't so you could die and go to hell, I can tell you that. It wasn't so you could just live your life and do your own thing. It's because God has a plan for every life. What a privilege life is. And for us to squander it and waste it, how sad. How sad. Mom said, I know why you lived. It was so you could do the will of God. And Mom was so proud of that. What's that, preacher? That's just honoring my mother. Your mom went through who knows what. She cared for you. She was up with you at 2 o'clock in the morning when you had a fever. She cleaned up your vomit. She took care of you. How sad that you would grow up, die, and go to hell someday. Truth of the matter is, not one of us, we owe it to our dear mothers to get saved. Every person does. We owe it to a mother to do the will of God. And it is God's will that we get saved. You know, well, I'm going to do my own thing. There's no honor to your mother doing your own thing. There's honor doing God's things. I was thinking about, and you know, your mind, when you get broke into and people get in your things and your personal things and everything, you know, you just think about a lot of stuff. And, one of the things I thought is imagine that person taking that money that was stolen out of the church and buying mother a Mother's Day gift. The irony of that. I mean, seriously, can you imagine that? Here, Mom, here's something I got for you. You know, boy, I love you. And that very thing, that very money that bought that gift is going to put that person in jail. One of these days, you do get caught. Be sure thy sin will find thee out. No question about it. And I thought, wouldn't that be ironic? That money stolen from our church would buy Mom a gift. Here, Mom, I want to honor you. And your very life is a dishonor. Very life is an embarrassment. Very life brings shame. My nice leather briefcase was stolen. We think probably they dumped all the children's money jar. They dumped all that money somewhere, probably in that. But the police officer said, "Was there anything valuable in your briefcase?" I said, "Well," I said, "my soul winner's New Testament was in there. And all my tracks." And then a thought came to me. You know, I'm praying that they read those. Now, they may just toss them. Somebody says, "Oh, they'll just throw that in the trash and everything." Well, you know what? It's the Word of God. Amen. And God says His Word will not return void. And I'm just praying that whoever it was will read those tracks, read that Bible. Because then it'd bring honor to a mom. "Mom, I stole some things from a church, but I found out the truth by reading some of these papers, and I just got saved." That's honor. That's honor. I don't care what you buy, Mom. I don't care what you do for her. If you never get saved, what a shame. What a shame. What a shame. Number one, do the will of God. That's the first gift that brings honor to Mom on Mother's Day. The second gift is to read the Word of God. Number one, do the will of God. Number two, read the Word of God. You know, in this past week, so many, and many of our folks read the Bible at home anyway, but here in the auditorium, different times, folks came in, they read the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, you call yourself a Christian, you cannot grow and have faith that pleases God without the Word of God. You can't do it. It doesn't happen, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible to please God. Can't do it. And so as we read the Bible, our faith grows and God is pleased as we trust Him. And as Barry and Sarah just saying, you know, as we trust the Lord, though it may look like the enemy's bigger, it may look like we're in trouble, it may look like the ocean is deep and the mountain is high, and it may look like we're going to lose this thing. But we just trust the Lord more and more and more and more and more. And that's why we read the Word of God. I believe with all my heart that brings honor to our families. That brings honor to a mom. That brings honor to a dad. That brings honor to them for whatever they went through to bring us here. To read the Word of God. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all hours of the day, all hours of the night, folks were coming in, folks were reading, folks were kind of watching out for those that were reading, folks came in and prayed. This altar, several times, people were here, they took prayer lists, they prayed, and sacrifice was made over and over again. And, you know, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, folks were coming in, and they were reading the Word of God. And then I thought about Wednesday and Thursday night, and people were cowering in bushes, just waiting for their time to break out windows and come in. They were away from the light, away from anyone seeing them, because that's men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they came in to steal. One group is going to bring honor to a mom. One group is going to bring honor to a dad. One group could say, you know, I gave my time, I read the Word of God, and that should bring honor to a mom and a dad. Another group that's cowering in bushes and in the dark, they're going to bring shame and reproach to the very mother that brought them into this world. I hope that's not your life. I hope it's not your life to avoid the things of God, because those things of God will bring honor. 3 John verse 4, Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. No parent wants to hear that their children messed up. No parent wants to hear that their child is going to jail. No parent wants to hear that their child has they're hurting and they're because of something they did. No parent wants to hear those kinds of things. Better to hear my child is walking in the truth and is doing what they're supposed to do. And let me remind you, God's word is truth. It pleases me when I find out that these teenagers came and they read the Word of God. That's very pleasing to me. Why? Because it's truth. It's good when they say, you know, I was reading and boy, the time went by so fast. Yeah, because they're reading the truth. Fooey on this idea that a young person can't understand the Word of God. It's God's Word. You want to honor your mother today. Do the will of God. Read the Word of God. And it'll make her proud in the end, because your life will be on the direction, the path that God planned for you. And then the last thing, number one, do the will of God. Number two, read the Word of God. And number three, do the work of God. Why were you born? You ever wonder, why was I born? Why am I even here? God has something for you. These little children up here, you know, you look at them and you say, oh, they're such cute little babies. And they are. And how wonderful that is. But God has a plan for their life, each of them. He has it all mapped out, a plan that is what He wants them to do. That is so exciting to me. I love counseling our young people. It's so enjoyable because I can look them in the eyes and I can say, you know what? God has a plan for you. Oh, you don't understand. I don't have any talent. Now listen to me. God knows exactly who you are. He knows all about you, and He has a plan for your life. Well, yeah, but I didn't grow up in church. Doesn't matter. Neither did I. Doesn't matter whether you grew up in church. God knows you. He's known you. And He has a plan for you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. God has a plan for your life. And how sad it is that so many miss it. You know what's going to bring honor is for you and I to accomplish the purpose that God had for us. You know what will bring honor to my mother? It'll be at the judgment seat of Christ as God says to me, and I want to hear these words, well done. You say, well, that brings honor to you. Oh, yeah, but that brings a whole lot of honor to a mom and a dad. Amen. Come on, parents. Caleb was talking about being ordained, and he said, boy, my dad was, he just seemed so excited. Well, Caleb, were you excited? Well, it was all right. Boy, my dad was excited. Amen. You know how it is. Poindexter gets a ribbon. Poindexter doesn't care. You know, how can I play with this? What am I going to do with this? You know, but dad and mom. You know, Throckmorton gets straight A's. You know, Throckmorton doesn't care that much. Yeah, it's math. It's English. But mom and dad, you know, they're telling everybody. Why is it a parent has a bumper sticker on them? My child is an honor student at such and such school. You know, why do they do that? Boasting. No, they're getting honor. Amen. It's an honor. Hey, that's my kid. My kid. Takes after me. Well, that's what you think. Really, takes after your wife. But I'll tell you what'll bring honor. The police were dusting things. And, of course, I'm always intrigued with all that stuff, dusting for fingerprints and all that. And I'm thinking, they're going to see mine a lot. But anyway, they're dusting, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And some of our teenagers came through the room. And you know, they stopped and they kind of looked at him. They were setting things up for the jogathon, and we had all kinds of stuff going on Friday. And these kids were working, you know, and they were laughing, having a good time. And I watched the officers, and they kind of looked at him. And I said, you know what? I said, those are some good kids right there. And yeah, I was kind of a little proud. I said, you know, it's a shame that there aren't more kids like them. And you know, I thought about those kids, and I thought about you, their parents, who are here, and I thought, boy, you ought to be so proud of them. You ought to be so proud of them. I told the officers, I said, these kids, those kids, they do right. They're really trying to do right. And I thought, boy, you bring an honor to me, your pastor. I think about how they'll grow up and they'll work. By the way, if you work, you don't have to steal. There aren't any jobs. Really? See, we remember the day you just go out and find work. You don't ask how much am I going to make. You just go find work, right? Amen. You get hungry. Your guts growl. When you can hear your guts growl, you're hungry, like some of you are right now. And by the way, the people next to you hear your guts growling too. But you know what you did. You just went. And I'm not. I mean, I'm not that old. There are folks. I mean, honestly, there are folks that are older, and they remember what was even tougher than what I remember. But you just work. Yeah, well, I don't have any food. Okay, well, you go work and you get food. You work for food, or you work to get money to buy food, but you go to work. Amen. You don't go steal from somebody else. You work. I mean, that's what you do. You just work. Well, I you know, how much am I going to make? Fully on that. You're going to get your belly full. That's what you do. Right? Remember those days? It's different, isn't it? Yeah, but you know what? I'm gonna tell you what pleases a parent. It's when little Poindexter goes to work and buys their first bicycle. Right? That's good stuff, isn't it? You know, our son David, he gathered eggs for years. And gathered eggs every day. You know, just had to go gather eggs. Got paid, I don't know, it was some real ridiculously low amount of money. But he saved up his money and bought his first, whatever that thing speed was, 10, 12, 20. I don't know what they are back in those days. But anyway, and bought his first bicycle, you know. And you know, I'm proud of that. Number one, because it didn't cost me anything. But he learned how to work. It's sad that we don't know. You know, well, you know, my guts are growling. I'll go steal from somebody. How sad. I got news for you. That brings no honor. It brings shame. It's interesting. I was thinking how many folks steal from God every Sunday. You know, I can't believe they'd steal from the church. Well, when the plates went around, I was kind of looking around wondering who's stealing from God today. You didn't break any glass, at least. Same thing. Yeah, I robbed God all my life. That's a shame to a mom and a dad. But anyway, do the work of God. Whatever it is God has for you to do, do it. Get busy for God. You know, don't let anything get in your way. Just get busy for God. And that will bring honor to your mom. Do the will of God. Read the Word of God. Do the work of God. And that, my friend, will bring honor to your mother. Let's bow our heads, please. Can't think of a better gift. I want to make mom proud. Get saved then. Please get saved. I want to make my mom proud of me. Read the Word of God so you can know what to do. Do the work of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here who'd say, Preacher, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. And if I were to die right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? Raise your hand. Pray for me. I do not know. I'm the only one looking. No one else is looking. I just want to pray for you. We're not going to come get anyone. We won't embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. You'd say, I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Please pray for me. Anyone? Pray for me. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, God spoke into my heart as a Christian today. Please pray for me." Raise your hand as a Christian all over. God bless you. Thank you. Father, help us to bring honor to our parents. Most of all, help us to bring honor to you. I pray we'll do your will. I pray that everyone here will leave saved, knowing they're going to heaven. I pray we'll read your word, and I pray we'll do your work. Please bless now. In Jesus' name, amen.